Okay, it's Friday night, and I've just looked at a lawsuit between the American Federation of Teachers. They are the plaintiff. They represent 1.8 million members. The plaintiff is the person who's filing the complaint, and that's the AFT. Who are they suing? The Department of Education, and specifically Linda McMahon, the secretary. The secretary has the obligations to follow certain procedures and statutory requirements. So they sue the department and they sue the person who has that responsibility. Now it's important to keep in mind what I'm about to say. First, the parties to the lawsuit are the American Federation of Teachers. Now, legally, that's probably a not-for-profit, corporation, but it's the corporation that is behind the AFT, not the students who borrowed the money, but the AFT. So the parties to the lawsuit are the AFT and the DOE, Department of Education. Now, the lawsuit was filed District Court, the District of Columbia, on March 18th, 2025. If anybody wants to look it up, it's case number colon 1:25 dash CV dash 00802. Now, this is a very interesting lawsuit. And now what I'm going to do is review parts of the lawsuit. First, I'm going to give you some background. I'm going to review parts of the lawsuit, and then I'm going to tell you what I think are some possible outcomes. Now, first, background. We're talking about student loans. How does a student loan manifest itself? A student, John Doe, borrows money from the federal government, actually from the DOE. The contract for that is called a promissory note. When I borrow money from a bank, I sign a promissory note. The promissory note details all the obligations the bank has to me and I have to the bank, such as I have an obligation to repay the loan. When a student signs a promissory note, it's between the student and the DOE. And the promissory note details all of the requirements, obligations that DOE has to the student. That's important to keep in mind. The promissory note details obligations that the DOE has to the student and the student has to the DOE, i.e., the student must repay the money, and the DOE has certain conditions, or not conditions, features of the promissory note for which they're obligated to provide to the student. So the promissory note is an obligation from the student to the DOE and obligations of the DOE back to the student. It's important to keep that in mind. Well, why? I'll tell you, we'll start there because first, the parties to the lawsuit are the AFT and the DOE, not the student and the DOE. The party to the promissory note are the student and the DOE. The AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, which are the plaintiff in this case, they're not a party to the promissory note. They can't sue somebody based on the promissory note that exists between the DOE and the student. Because what? Because the AFT is not a party to that lawsuit. Now, let's look at the lawsuit. Overview: the American Federation of Teachers, representing 1.8 million members, has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Education for unlawfully shutting down all income-driven repayment plans for federal student loans in violation of federal statutes and contractual obligation. That happened. That isn't a fact in dispute. There was a shutdown order, and processing of federal student loans was stopped. And that violates the federal statutes and contractual obligation. Now, interesting enough, the contractual obligation that it violates has nothing to do with AFT. The stop order violates the contractual obligations between who? Between DOE and the student. Now, for openers, I'm sure when they file a response to this, they'll point out that the AFT is not suing on behalf of a student. In fact, they're suing because they felt they're damaged. In other words, in a lawsuit, somebody's got to be damaged. In this lawsuit, are the students damaged? Yes. But are the students a part of the lawsuit? No. AFT is suing for their own damages. They're saying they were damaged because they're unable to supply the services to the students they normally would supply. And because of that, they want their money back or whatever they've lost, and they want legal fees. In other words, the lawsuit doesn't provide any money for students in case they win. Keep this in mind all the time. There are parties to the lawsuit. That's the AFT and the DOE. There are parties to the promissory note. That's the student and the DOE. So when it says the US DOE for unlawfully shutting down all income-driven repayment plans for federal student loans in violation of federal statutes and contractual obligations, those contractual obligations are not between the AFT and the DOE. They're between the student and the DOE. That has an implication because why aren't the students individually filing? Now, there's no question that the termination of these payment plans have been stopped. They've been halted, right? And it's probably debatable why they've been halted, but there's a stop order, and I'm going to go into this in a second. It has to do with another court, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. But there was definitely a stop order, and the DOE, for whatever reason, say, hey, we're not going to process any more of these loans. We're not going to do any more work on it. And that happened on February the 26th, 2025. Okay, now, it violated the borrower rights, no question about it. And that's important. The borrower, that's the student, are denied affordable repayment options. Now, remember, I mentioned earlier the promissory note. The promissory note has all its requirements that the student must do. They must make their monthly payments. There's many conditions for this, right? And there are a variety of different repayment plans. But in order to actually make these payments, the repayment plans have to be in place for the student. If the student calls the DOE or the educational department and says, hey, I want to make a payment, and the payments are all stopped, the student can't make payments on the plan. The student cannot retire its own debt. This is unbelievable. It's kind of unheard of. It's like Cap Fed calling me on the phone saying, hey, Bob, I'm stopping payment on your home loan. You can still stay in your home, but don't make any more payments, but I reserve the right to come after you later on. So now this becomes important because why? And I'll get to this very quickly, and then I'll come back. The repayment plans are important because there are criteria for what's called the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Access. Typically how this works is a student borrows money. They go to work for what you call a public service. It could be a hospital. It could be a teacher. There's a whole variety of public service corporations that the student could work for. Now, if the student makes 120 payments, that's one payment a month for 10 years, at the end of the 10-year period, the entire loan is forgiveness. And that's called, I believe I'll have it correct, a Public Service Loan Forgiveness. PSLF. Now, for the student to exercise its rights under the PSLF, which, by the way, are contractually obligated by DOE to the student as part of the promissory note, the student, in order to comply with this PSLF criteria, must be in a current payment plan. But if the payment plans are stopped, the student can't get in a payment plan, hence can't qualify for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Access. They may have to write that down and think about it. But it means that a student who wants to qualify, let's say has worked for 9 years or 8 years, is about to enter its 10th year, has made their payments, they want to qualify, they want to get their debt forgiven, they can't. They can't qualify because they're not part of a payment plan. Because why? Because the payment plans have been stopped by the stop order. So therefore, the student, whoever is trying to pay it off, can't qualify for public service loan forgiveness. Now, they give some examples of this in the lawsuit. And they talk about one or two people that were right at the end of getting their PSL and getting their PSLF, Public Service Loan Forgiveness, PSLF plan. And they were like 3 months away, and now they can't get it because they can't make payments, right? So emotional loss on the student. So that's kind of my point. In the lawsuit, the damages that are discussed are twofold. One, AFT says, hey, we're damaged because we're losing all this time fiddling around with all these other things when we should be helping the students. I think that's kind of a weak argument. They say they've lost, I don't know, 1,000 hours or something. But the second person that's damaged, the second group, are the students who, living in a basket of confusion, which I can agree with 100%, and because a stop order prevents them from making payments. And the way the stop order is written, if they ever come off of the stop order, let's say the stop order lasts 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, maybe 12 months. Those months don't count in the 120 months of work in a public service company. So you may have to work a lot longer than you thought to get your 120 months in, right? Because the months that were forbeared because the stop order don't count. Now, let me tell you what the fundamental problem is. When you look at the entire lawsuit, what's the issue? It's a difference of opinion on a very, very obscure ruling by the Eighth Circuit's court. The Eighth Circuit Court, that's a court somewhere in, I guess, in the East, stopped some modifications to the plan called the SAVE plan. Now, the only thing that's really important about that is this was Congress making some changes to the current laws with respect to these student loans. So apparently it was sued. The Eighth Circuit says, hey, well, we have to stop this SAVE plan. Now the AFT says stopping the SAVE plan, or the legal term is getting an injunction against the SAVE plan, does not preclude the department from continuing the IBR or ICR. That's the independent repayment plans, right? You don't have to know exactly what they stand for, right? But they're payment plans that are contractually obligated by the DOE to provide to the student. The Eighth Circuit says, and this is what the plaintiff is saying, AFT is saying, oh, there was an injunction against a SAVE plan, but that doesn't preclude the DOE from continuing to support the current payment plans for students. In other words, still allowing students to make their payments so they can qualify for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Plan or whatever other plan they're trying to qualify for. Now, what's the other side say? Now, the department claims otherwise. That's the argument. The central argument is the plaintiff says, hey, the Eighth Circuit Court said, hey, they were given an injunction against a SAVE plan, but doesn't preclude you, Mr. DOE, Mrs. Susan McMahon, from continuing your payment plans for students that they've stopped. That's the stop order I mentioned. But the department claims otherwise. DOE says, no, they blocked everything. The department says the Eighth Circuit Court claims blocks all IDR applications, all applications for repayment. So there we have the stop order. The argument that the AFT is making is that this stop order, or order from the save plan, not the stop order, the order from the save plan, does not mean the DOE can stop their obligations to students contractually in the promissory note to provide independent payment plans so a person can qualify for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Plan. Remember, that's the idea. In order to qualify for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Plan, you have to be part of a current independent repayment plan. But if the DOE prevents you from being a part of that, then you can't get qualified for the PSLF. That's the nub. Now, and remember, that's a disagreement. Now, there's a couple things I said I'd say, kind of like, here's kind of like the legal claims, and they're really not that complicated. Basically, department failed to perform its statutory duty by halting IDRs and PSLF processing. And that's correct. Because remember, when the student took out the loan, he signed a promissory note with the DOE, with the federal government. And in that promissory note, the DOE, the federal government, has certain obligations to the student. By stopping the processing of the payment claims, the students cannot get the feature provided them in that promissory note. So if you're trying to get a PSLF, a payment, a public service loan forgiveness, you can't get it because they've stopped one of the criteria that you need, which is being part of a current payment plan. Now, there's another count. So the next count is the AF says, hey, it was an arbitrary and capricious agency action. There is a law on that. You can't be arbitrary and capricious. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to go through all that. But you know, the AFT simply says the shutdown was irrational, unsupported by law, and contradicted existing contracts and statutes. Now, what contract are they talking about there? Not the contract between the AFT and the DOE, because there isn't such a contract. The contract is between the student and the DOE. Now, AFT, here's what AFT wants. Declaratory judgment. They want the department that's violating the law to stop it. They want to compel resolution of these programs. They want to bar the department from collecting payments while violating these obligations. And they want attorney fees. Notice, nothing there for the student. And it's unlikely they're going to be able to compel this because they're not the one that's really damaged. Now we'll go back to my kind of overall analysis. The things I don't like about this lawsuit, first thing, it's poorly written. And the people that should be suing the DOE are the people that are part of the promissory note. That's the students. Now, there's likely some reason why they can't get, students to form a class action suit against DOE. AFT theoretically has that indirect obligation because they're there to represent their members. But they cannot specifically get damages for a student, and the student's going to be damaged. Emotional stress, not knowing what to do, confusing the whole thing, just like mentioned in the lawsuit. But the student can't get damages from this lawsuit, right? The AFT is simply saying, and it's a vastly simplified summary, but the AFT is saying, hey, we've lost some time fooling around with this whole thing. We want to get repaid back for our time and for the attorney fees for suing you. And along the way, we want you to basically compel the DOE to follow their contractual obligations that they have to the student. That's it. The DOE is saying, wait a minute. I know I have some contractual obligations. They don't not admit that. They're saying they can't fulfill them because of an Eighth Circuit court ruling. Now, I'm going to go through that one more time. And then I'm going to conclude this and send this to your friends. Hopefully it'll make some sense. Seems like to me more students should be suing the DOE, not the AFT. Okay. What's the key legal argument? AFT says, we recognize the Eighth Circuit's injunction against this new repayment plan called the SAVE plan. But the AFT says that does not legally preclude the DOE from continuing its payment plans option for students. Its payment plans that they're obligated to provide students contractually. The DOE says, no, we don't agree with that. We're saying, hey, the Eighth Circuit Court blocks all payment applications, therefore it's shut down. They're saying we can't do anything because we've got to follow the Eighth Circuit Court. AFT is saying the Eighth Circuit Court doesn't tell you or doesn't allow you to preclude you from continuing IBR or ICR payment plans. DOE says, we think it does, so we can't do anything. You see the argument there? It's a very nuanced argument. The DOE is not saying they have an obligation to the students. They're saying the Eighth Circuit Court said we have to stop that because it issued an injunction against the SAVE plan. That's all I'm going to say for now on this. I might want to follow this. It's kind of interesting. I don't think AFT is going to get anywhere here unless they can advance it to a class action where 50, 100 teachers are suing the DOE. Because again, the issue here is about a promissory note. The promissory note is between the government and the student. Those are the parties to the loan. The AFT is not a party to the loan. They get in here almost through a side door because they're saying our members are AFT members. Our members are students who have problems with these loans. And therefore, we're filing the lawsuit. And we're trying to compel the DOE to fulfill their obligations that exist between the DOE and the student because of the promissory note. Any good loan officer will tell you that in terms of a contractual analysis, you need to see the promissory note to see what obligations one party has to the other. But there's no argument in this case that, in fact, the U.S. Department of Education has these obligations regarding repayment plans to students, and the stop order that they say they're following from the Eighth Circuit Court precludes them from doing it. That's their argument. So it's interesting to see how it's going to go along. Maybe the person who sent me this will send the reply. But my reply, I think the reply from the DOE is going to be pretty perfunctory because the AFT is not a party to the promissory note. And the AFT admits in their own filing that the promissory note is what controls the contractual obligations between the federal statutes and the student loans. In fact, they said federal student loans in violation of federal statutes and contractual obligations. Those contractual obligations, which they mention in their lawsuit, are contractual obligations between the student and the DOE, not between the AFT and the DOE. Now, students are going to win this anyway because they're in the right clearly, and the promissory note holder, which is the borrower, is taking advantage of the students. No question about that. And the DOE, for some reason, is leaning on a nuanced Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals opinion that doesn't really make any sense. There's no reason the Eighth Circuit Court of Opinion would say, oh, by the way, all these payment plans that you're obligated to provide, you don't have to provide them anymore. Now, that doesn't make any sense, right? So the DOE's position makes no sense here. Hopefully, someone will get a hold of these people and explain that to them. I don't think the AFT lawsuit's going to do it. It's going to take some more litigation before it's finally cleared up. Now, that's all I got on this subject. I don't exactly know how long it took me to do it. If you have any questions, please send them to webtalkwiththebob@gmail.com with the subject line AFT versus DOE litigation. That's where I'll know it's from you. I'll respond to all these things in the next podcast that I put out on these subject matters. And this, I've got one going on the Kohlberger case. That's a lot different than this case. Now I'll do this one on, I'll follow the litigation between the AFT and the DOE. It's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, it's never going to get the press that the Idaho murders get. And on top of that, the litigation here is far more confusing and nuanced than is the murder case. I'm not saying the murder case is simple. I'm just saying that the issue on the AFT versus DOE is kind of a litigation legal issue. And there's no, and in the case of the murder case, it's more about forensics and other things. So they're different. One's going to get a lot of press, one's not going to get very much. That's all I've got for now. Good luck. Got any questions? Go to webtalkwithbob@gmail.com and tell me what your questions are. And if you think I've said something that is not correct, tell me. Certainly possible, unlikely, but possible. See you later.